Advent is a time to reflect, pray, and worship the Christ who came, who comes, and will come again. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December is an Advent devotional booklet called The Jesse Tree. These short daily devotions are filled with symbols, telling the story of Jesus from creation to his second coming. The Jesse Tree is available for only $3. Learn more at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Jesse Tree.
I would say that the return of constant uses of off-the-record sources is the result of a lot of the political bitterness in American life over the last 4 years.
He does love you just the way you are, and he loves you entirely too much to leave you that way.
It's that single word from the cross. It is finished. My forgiveness is as certain as the fact that Christ has died for the world.
Hi, this is Jack in Ponca City, Oklahoma, and I love to listen to Issues, Etc. while I play my bagpipe.
The article, it's an advocacy article in the New England Journal of Medicine, a once reputable scientific journal, medical journal, is titled Failed Assignments, Rethinking Sex Designations on Birth Certificates. It contains this line: it is a study in begging the question, assigning sex at birth doesn't capture the diversity of people's experiences. It presumes what it sets out to ostensibly prove. It begs the question. It assumes that there is no such thing as sex at birth. It is simply assigned. And this is from the New England Journal of Medicine, a peer-reviewed journal that people read and take to the bank. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, December the 14th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about that advocacy article in the New England Journal of Medicine with Wesley Smith, senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center for Human Exceptionalism. A little bit later, Dr. Ken Sherb joins us for our weekly series, Through the Old Testament in a Church Year. We'll talk about the sacrifice or the near sacrifice of Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. It's Christ in the Tabernacle and in the Exodus with Dr. Tom Egger, professor of Old Testament at Concordia Seminary after that. And then we'll round everything off today talking about Holy Communion, scandal, and pro-choice Catholic politicians with Archbishop Charles Chaput. He is Archbishop Emeritus of Philadelphia. Joining us to talk about a New England Journal of Medicine and its call for the removal of sex from birth certificates, Wesley Smith, the senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, an attorney and consultant to the Patients' Rights Council, author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Do Harm Medicine, and a recent column for National Review Online, Not Identifying Sex on Birth Certificates Pushed in the New England Journal of Medicine. Wesley, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. Happy Advent.
And to you as well. Is any of this advocacy article in the New England Journal of Medicine, is it based upon any research, solid medicine or science?
Well, it's based mainly on ideology, and this is the whole idea of the transgendered movement that in the last several years has really come to the fore and basically become not just the tail that wags the dog, but the flea that wags the dog. And I'm not meaning that as a pejorative against the people who are transgendered or suffer from gender dysphoria. What I'm saying is you have a very tiny, infinitesimal number of people in the population who are basically, and advocates for them, basically whipsawing the entire society to change the language, to change the idea of not putting identifying a sex on birth certificates, to try to cancel in cancel culture people like J.K. Rowling because she said that a girl is a girl and so forth. And you have things like I think it was at Harvard, but I'm not sure, where they were talking about people giving birth, not women giving birth. And this is all very subversive to the idea of a stable society, traditional Judeo-Christian society. And of course, we should have great empathy and sympathy for people who experience what can be very anguishing, the idea that you are actually the gender that you were not born. That would be a very difficult experience to undergo. But we shouldn't change all of society. Particularly, we shouldn't turn things that are like vital statistics, which are basically objective, into subjective determinations. And so this piece in the New England Journal of Medicine, which, by the way, in issue after issue after issue, they're promoting what we might call woke agendas or politically progressive agendas. A lot of these science journals and medical journals, the most respected in the world, are becoming increasingly ideological and less concerned with objective science. And this is just an example. I try to point this out whenever these kinds of articles appear, whether it's in Nature, which is a major science journal, or the journal Science, because people, you know, look at these journal articles and you think, okay, well, that's what the scientists think. Well, when the scientists or the doctors, as the case may be, sometimes they're PhDs, et cetera, bioethicists, when they're writing things that are really not science and really not medicine, but let's say borrowing the authority that we provide for objective science and objective medicine, I think people need to be made aware of it.
I want you to react to something that is, they actually bring in a little bit of legal reasoning, if you can call it that, that appeared in this advocacy article. And I quote, "Moving sex designations below the line would be in keeping with legal developments de-emphasizing sex distinctions." I don't know why they're writing about that in a medical journal, but they go on. "Now that the U.S. Supreme Court has held in Obergefell v. Hodges that bans on same-sex marriage are unconstitutional, only a few legal contexts relying on sex designations remain. In these contexts, using information from birth certificates is not the best way to categorize people." What are they saying and how do you respond?
Well, it's gobbledygook. They're saying because same-sex marriage was legalized by the Supreme Court that we should never actually try to designate somebody's sex, that is something that people have to decide for themselves when they become of an age where they understand such things. But what they're talking about doing is destroying the purpose of public vital statistics. And what they're saying with above the line and below the line, you know, when in my birth certificate, it says I was born, it says the date I was born, where I was born, and that I was a boy baby. And they looked, determined that I was a boy baby by the obvious indicia, right? What they want to do is take that out, but mention it what's called below the line so that it would not be attributable to the person whose birth certificate it is, but would still say, which doesn't make any sense, okay, you know, 5 million boys were born and 5,200,000 girls were born, but we don't know which of the boys and which of the girls are actually the boys and the girls. I mean, it's just nonsensical.
So they're not just advocating this about birth certificates, but other legal documents by which people identify themselves. Tell us about that.
Right. And you know, if somebody is transgendered and they, what it used to be was, if somebody went through this, they would go through a rigorous process. And eventually, at the end of the process, then they could have their birth certificate altered. That was kind of like the societal compromise. It's not medicine. That's politics, or that's comity. You could, whatever you want to call it. That was a political kind of decision to make it so that people who really are experiencing this condition can eventually have a birth certificate that correlates with the gender they identify with, which of course is a subjective issue. It's not objective, it's subjective. It's what's in their mind. It's what's in their emotions. Today, I mean, you saw that actress, Ellen Page, I believe, was her name. One day she was Ellen Page actress. She came out and said, "I identify as a male," and suddenly she was, and we had to start calling her he, just by the snap of her finger. And I find that it's a whipsawing of society, and it kind of denies the idea that a lot of times, particularly with younger people, Todd, this is really of concern to me in terms of younger people. You have 13 and 14-year-old biological girls having mastectomies because they identify as boys. You have children having their natural, normal puberty blocked with hormones and so forth to keep them from developing normal secondary sex characteristics so that later on when they transition, they will appear more like the sex or the gender that they identify with. But what that doesn't tell you is that there are a lot of teenagers and the preteens that are experiencing gender dysphoria, and at the end of going through their teenage years, they've gotten over it. And we're talking about making material, physical changes to children, that some of which are irreversible. For example, you could sterilize somebody. If you could cut off, surgically remove a young biological girl's breasts, you're going to end up having to, if she decides, oh my gosh, I really am a girl, you're going to have a breast reconstruction surgery just to make her have the appearance of a normal woman's body. And this is all in the last 5 to 10 years. Just, it's almost like a moral panic, a stampede. You've had people like the same-sex marriage advocate Andrew Sullivan, basically driven from New York Magazine, where he was writing, because in part because people who worked at New York Magazine were uncomfortable with him saying, wait a second, there is such a thing as sex, because that's part of same-sex advocacy, right? And now you have, with the transgender issue, you have almost a conflict between the LG part of LGBT and the T part. But again, these are societal arguments we can have, but they don't belong, in my opinion, in an objective medical journal where you're deploying the authority of that journal, the august, you know, decades of writing learned scientific studies and articles to help doctors learn how to better treat patients, and turn it into an advocacy journal for very progressive political agendas. Just give you one other example I pulled up. A few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, the New England Journal of Medicine actually published an article advocating doing away with natural gas. Well, what does that have to do with medicine? And the hook was, well, you know, global warming and climate change. Well, natural gas, if you want to look at facts, actually helped the United States decrease its greenhouse gas emissions more than I think any other country in the world, because we've had so much conversion from coal to natural gas. But that has nothing to do with the practice of medicine. That has to do with a progressive political agenda where they advocated not allowing natural gas appliances and so forth and so on in the New England Journal of Medicine. It's just insane. And that raises the problem of trust in science, because let's assume that somebody published a study that went through peer review that cut against the grain of transgender ideology as we currently understand it. Do you think the New England Journal of Medicine would publish it? I don't. And what does that say about our ability to trust what is in the New England Journal of Medicine? If they're making decisions about publishing peer-reviewed articles based on ideology and not basic science, I'm not saying they've done that, but it certainly raises the suspicion, because they've gone so hardcore for various ideologies. And it makes you think, well, what if, you know, because science is about challenging orthodoxies, right? That's what science is about. So you have a heterodox view that you are able to demonstrate through scientific means, a position that cuts against what the New England Journal of Medicine is publishing. The question is, would they publish it? And I have very real doubts about it, which casts a real cloud, in my view, on the ability to trust what's in the New England Journal of Medicine. And that's a shame, because it's been one of the great medical journals in the medical history.
With about a minute here, Wesley, what would you say to someone who says, well, look, it appeared there in this journal, and it does have this storied, reputable history, and maybe even a politician saying, maybe we should get rid of the sex designations on birth certificates. After all, the New England Journal of Medicine recommended it. How would you respond?
Well, that's the idea. That's the idea behind publishing this. And I would say that if somebody made that argument, you would say, what does this issue have to do with objective science. It doesn't. It's about subjective ideology, that we should no more follow their subjective ideology than we should Newsweek's. It's something that we should all discuss and debate among ourselves, but not, quote, rely on the scientists to make these decisions for us, because this isn't a scientific question. It's a philosophical question. It's an ideological question. It's a perhaps a moral question, but it's not objective medicine.
Wesley Smith is senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's an attorney and consultant to the Patients' Rights Council. He's author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Due Harm Medicine, and a recent column for National Review Online, Not Identifying Sex on Birth Certificates, pushed in New England Journal of Medicine. You can read his columns on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Wesley, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd, and Merry Christmas.
When we come back, Dr. Ken Cherb joins us for our weekly series, Through the Old Testament in a Church Year. We'll be talking about Genesis chapter 22, the near sacrifice of Isaac. La, 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 la. Girls will be boys and boys will be girls. It's a mixed up, muddled up, shook up world. It's up and over. La, 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 la. Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated independently and in the black for 12 consecutive years. With 2 weeks left in 2020, we're $95,000 short of expenses. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at outdoornativitystore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, outdoornativitystore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.